Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the Church Bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You might have seen this floating around online, a column from The Atlantic asking the question, answering the question, will Catholicism ever bless gay marriage? The conclusion of the column's author is yes, sooner or later Christians are going to kind of get tired of opposing gay marriage and they're going to do what Jesus did. They're just going to love everybody. And then, of course, there'll be kind of a detente, a nice, peaceful love fest between Christians and the advocates of gay marriage. Is that a right way to understand that this is about hate versus love? Something about that seems a little fishy to me. Joining us to talk about this recent column in The Atlantic, will Catholicism ever bless gay marriage? Helen Hull Hitchcock, founder of a Catholic women's organization based in St. Louis called Women for Faith and Family. Helen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Oh, thank you. Now, this is a tricky one. I think that the answer is oversimplified. The author says that as anti-gay bigotry declines, then a greater proportion of Christians will just give up on any kind of opposition to homosexual marriage. That's not going to happen. For one thing, Jesus tells us to love everybody, right? Jesus can forgive everybody who wants to be forgiven for anything they've done wrong, right? That does not mean that the things that we do that he does not approve of, that are not right, are things that just because we love a person that we're going to change our mind and say, oh, well, what you're doing wrong is actually right. That doesn't follow from that. So it isn't really a logical conclusion. It is paradoxical. But anyway, that...
Is that the way... So it sounds like what you're saying is the way that this is being framed in the Atlantic column by Connor Friedersdorf is kind of between bigotry and toleration, or bigotry and understanding, and sooner or later, you know, people can only be bigots so long. The pressure of society will get to Christians and they'll drop their bigotry. That is not the proper way to understand this particular opposition that Christians generally tend to hold toward same-sex marriage.
That's right. I mean, we are to love the homosexual person as we love everybody. We would love people who do other wrong things too. And we try to persuade them to change their mind and change their behavior and do what God wants them to do. But I think that a lot of people believe that sexuality is just a social construct. It was something that was imposed on us by generations ago, and that now that we are enlightened and don't think that sexuality has anything to do with our nature, then we don't have to obey, you know, the laws of nature. And that's one of the things that I think that underlies this mistake. We don't expect Christian churches to say, well, because so many people think abortion is okay, that we're going to change our opinion about abortion. We recognize that as something that is intrinsically wrong. The Catholic Church and other churches recognize that homosexual activity, such as homosexual marriage or whatever, is intrinsically disordered. It's not the way God created us to be. So it's the Christian teaching is not going to change on that. Maybe our behavior will, maybe our attitude will, and maybe we will be, maybe we will accept it, even if that's not the right thing to do. Just as the same might happen with abortion or euthanasia, or let's say, to put it in the same category, polygamy or something. Most people are not yet at the point of saying polygamy is okay, but they might, many more people, because of social pressure and social change, may think that homosexual marriage is in a different category.
So what the prospect here really is of, let's say, the Roman Catholic Church, but in particular Roman Catholic Church in America, I think that's kind of the myopia of this particular column, holding out hope that the Roman Catholic Church in some sense will come to a kind of peaceful toleration of same-sex marriage, if not approval. What does the author fail to understand about the Roman Catholic Church, even in America?
Huh. Well, the Roman Catholic Church is not free to change God's teaching. And the basic teachings, are in the Bible. In the first two chapters of Genesis, we're taught about how God created man and woman. And this is consistent throughout the whole biblical thing, and as well as human experience. And the Catholic Church does not regard itself as free to change essential teachings like that. Now, that doesn't mean that our attitudes towards certain things can't change, that our behavior in certain ways can't change. We wouldn't want to go back to a state, in the Middle Ages, when the only way to solve any religious problem was to kill the other guy and burn him at the stake. We wouldn't want to go back to that. But it is, there are some things that can't be changed. And this is one of them. This is God's creation, and that's the way we were, that's the way he made us.
It's part of the, maybe the false hope of the columnist here in the Atlantic, based upon some real compromise that that if not, say, the Roman Catholic Church or other denominations may have made, but real compromise that Christians are tempted to make in society on other issues like divorce and cohabitation and mm-hmm. sex outside of marriage.
Right. Yeah, why can't the Catholic Church do the same thing and just change it and have a council and all the guys who are at the council agree to change the teaching? It's never happened. Catholics would tell you that it can't happen. You can change disciplinary things. You can change the outlook, improve the depth with which we understand biblical teaching, but you can't change the essence of it. What Catholics would call doctrine can't be changed. It can be nuanced, it can be reinterpreted or something, but it cannot be changed. So this is something, and the present Pope, even though many people think of him as a very open and liberal and warm person who would change the teaching if he could on homosexual marriage and divorce and all kinds of other things, he himself has spoken about this, that there are essential church teachings that can't be changed. And he himself has spoken out quite firmly against homosexual marriage back when he was a cardinal in Argentina. And he's spoken very firmly against abortion. This is killing. It's taking a life. You can't do it. And so I think some people may expect that the effect of a warm, friendly, open pope that he seems to be means that he will just change anything he wants to according to how good everybody feels about it, but that's not the case. He can't. He's not free to do it.
Is it also a failure to understand that the church, at least at its best moments, is consciously aware that it is uniquely countercultural, not just countercultural to kind of market itself or find a niche somewhere in the marketplace of ideas, but it is essentially, intrinsically countercultural when or where it finds itself?
Oh, definitely. That goes back to Jesus' own teachings about the church. We can be a stumbling block or a stepping stone. The church stands firmly against cultural effects that are against God's law and against church teachings. And many times it's very countercultural. And sometimes it's not, well, we see what that has to do. And I mean, what being countercultural says to in the Middle East in these days, it's a life and death matter. It's so important to hold firm to the truth that God has taught us and Jesus has embodied for us that going against that is unthinkable.
Finally then, Helen, with about a minute here, someone says, well, what about a rogue pope, a pope who decides that he does want to make an attempt to change these teachings, or in a smaller context, maybe a rogue archbishop or cardinal or a group of them in American Catholicism, they could manage to get these things changed. With about a minute, how would you respond?
Well, I would say that if there were a group of bishops that wanted to change the teaching and tried to put pressure on the pope and other bishops to do that, they might have an effect. They could create a big mess, but they could not change the church's teaching itself. And that we're assured by Christ that he is with the church and that will not happen. So that's the way we view it.
Helen Hull Hitchcock is founder of a Catholic women's organization based in St. Louis called Women for Faith and Family. You'll find a link at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Helen, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time rounding off this first hour talking about the beliefs and practices of Baptists. Pastor Gregory Michael will be our guest. In hour two of the program, we're going to answer the question, where can we find the church? We'll have Pastor Steve Keyser there to answer the question. Headmaster and Associate Pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Plano, Texas. He's authored an article in the Lutheran Witness magazine titled, Who is the Church? And then Pastor Tom Baker will be with us, as he often is, early in the week. We'll be walking through a Sunday school lesson. God creates Adam and Eve in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. So when we come back, we're going to talk about the beliefs and practices of Baptists. Pastor Gregory Michael will join us. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. You'll find an authoritative witness to the gospel of salvation by grace alone in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, the Concordia Commentary on Galatians. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Andrew Doss. The Concordia Commentary on Galatians is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org. The Concordia Commentary on Galatians, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September.
So that verse 13, you attain together the unity of the faith, which is the knowledge, not of you, but of the Son of God himself, the knowledge of his perfected humanity, the knowledge of the measure of his total imputed, and that means gift, righteousness. You are totally and freely justified, forgiven, perfected by God's work in Jesus on the cross.
Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, making disciples in the Word and Sacraments of Jesus Christ. BethanyLCS.org.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi; Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California; Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina; Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas; Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona; St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio; Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington; Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana; Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky; and St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.